For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast, our first postseason edition of the season. Week 18 is over, on to the postseason for Super Wild Card Round, six games. I love the six games. I love the two Saturday, Sunday, one Monday night, back to Monday night, although it made me a liar. I told my wife, no more Monday night football, no more Thursday night football. Yeah, there was a Monday night game. So, you know, and then, of course, tonight we're recording this on Monday. There'll be the national championship game. And she's going to say, I thought you said there weren't any Monday night football. I said, for NFL. And then there's going to be next week. I love it all. But, Jacob, what do you think? Jacob's with us here. Do you like the, you use the name wild card or super wild card?
It is a super wild card because there's six games now. And then at least the only, my only saving grace for the Monday is it's the 4-5 matchup. So at least we'll have the seeding set. It's not like we won't know who's going to travel to who, but depending on the winner of that game. But that's probably the most injury based game, I would say, is Tampa and Philly. I mean, the most high profile, Baker had the minor right ankle. We'll get into all that later. But
yeah, well, that's an interesting point. It's probably not an accident to know the game setup, but it sort of makes it a little bit of an advantage for preparation for some teams. But I would imagine the NFL probably has it worked out where the winner of the Monday night game is playing Sunday next week.
Yeah. Right?
They're not going to make them play Saturday on the road, probably, I would imagine.
I was going to say, does it help Houston to play two Saturdays in a row, or does it not matter? Just mentality-wise, team-wise?
I don't know that it matters much. I mean, Saturday to Saturday is the same Sunday to Sunday cycle.
And the Browns have to go Sunday to Saturday. So,
and the
not Browns that they played anybody.
And the Browns have to travel.
Right. Not that they played anybody in week 18. They had their seating locked up. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, well, the Bengals crushed them, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Let's get to this week's podcast here. We're going to be playoff heavy and for sure. Let's get rolling.
Yeah, we'll hit some key names, then we'll get into the matchups, focus on more minutia. We're going to have a series of videos posted on our YouTube later today. If you're listening to this on Monday, probably be up already. If you're listening on Tuesday, probably is up. Let's start with TJ Watt. He's probably the biggest single-name defensive injury that we got.
Yeah, and with playoffs, we're going to get more granular with field views and six scores, and we'll walk through game by game the matchups, et cetera. And if you want to make life easy, I know you guys will have some sick pick offers, and we already discussed the algorithm. And there are some definite injury advantages this week, so go to sicscore.com. So TJ Watt. So by video in-game on Saturday, really unfortunate. I mean, the play was kind of done. It was friendly fire. TJ Watt was looking the other way and looked like an MCL. We hope the rain and the grass field actually helps him from making it more significant. I mean, that could have been an ACL if it were foot stuck in the ground, a contact ACL, but it's not. Thought it was at least a mild to moderate grade MCL, which meant we did not think TJ Watt was coming back. And it was interesting. It's interesting now how
the media wars, yeah,
the reporting. Big boys,
yeah,
are in-game reporting. I mean, I'm talking the big boys like Rap Sheet and Schefter in-game often report injuries. And we can talk about that a little bit. I still remember, I mean, to me, it's burned in my mind. Carson Wentz started for the Rams. I guess we can cover that we'll get to it now. Carson Wentz, I still remember the game that he got injured. It was against the Rams when he injured his knee and his career trajectory changed. I remember specifically because it was in December. It was a game at the Coliseum against the Rams. No, I didn't go. I was actually taking Sunday afternoon with the lighting correct at the park pictures with the twins for Christmas, because the wife said we need Christmas pictures, right, and Christmas card pictures and whatever. And we're at the park and we're supposed to do, and I've got my phone and you guys are tech, you know, whatever, all this stuff. And up to this point in time, I kind of was, and now there's more doctors and other things and students and physical therapists doing in-game injury stuff now. But at the time I kind of was the only guy, and I'm at the park and my phone's going crazy for media guys and texting, and Carson Wentz is injured. And my wife's giving me the evil eye, like, what are you doing? You're on your phone. And finally I go, wow, it's a big injury. She goes, all right. So we're supposed to do the crescendo photos, right? You do the little kids first and then get all the pictures and this, that, the other. Then you add in the rest of the family at the end, you know, kind of right. thing. Said we did it reverse, the big family photo first. And then I left and went back home. By the time I got home, and it wasn't even that long, Adam Schefter had already tweeted he tore his ACL. I was like, wow, that was my first in-game where I go, the big boys are reporting stuff like this. And I then looked at the video that was on my TiVo, you know, rewind. And it's like, oh, it's more than just ACL. That's where we said it was LCL and ACL. Carson Wentz finished that series. They scored the touchdown, right?
Right.
But still, it was a multi-ligament. And anyways, that was the start. But going back to TJ Watt, Rap Sheet was saying, you know, in game pretty much right after game two, saying as specific as grade three MCL. Look, grade two, grade three. He's now downgraded to grade two.
Right.
We his always brother
JJ Watt came in with the grade two.
Oh, his brother JJ Watt came in with the grade two? Okay. I didn't know the details there. We don't necessarily get into grades. We just know it was an MCL. Was it a complete tear needing surgery, grade three? No. But he's an edge rusher. Like, you're going to put him on one side and, you know, try, like, very hard to play through that MCL. And that's why he didn't come back to the game. The Steelers are now in the playoffs. He's not playing wild card round. He's probably not playing divisional round. If they get to the conference championship round, I think he might play. So unfortunately, bad timing for TJ Watt and the Steelers. Or maybe we'll ask JJ Watt when he's returning to play. But it's not happening, unfortunately, for the Steelers.
Yeah. There's some news on Gabe Davis. They released that he suffered a PCL sprain during the game. Status is to be determined, but he has not been ruled out.
Yeah, good. So Gabe Davis, we'll get to that. Certainly contusion anteriorly was when he tripped himself or was tripped in the end right. zone, landed. We'll get to that as well, but thank you.
Yeah, that Pittsburgh line, I think that's reflected. It already plus 10 going into Buffalo. So TJ Watt is 19 sacks. That's a big loss.
That's a big loss. And you know, Gabe Davis, if he has even a mild PCL, it's going to be very hard for him to play this week. And although I think if anything, it's mild, and assuming the Bills win, it gives him a chance next week, but certainly he will be back this playoffs if the Bills stay alive, right? And if Josh Allen can cut down on the turnovers, right? I mean,
it's a big if. It's been a big if the whole season.
Look, that's his game, man. That's what
live by Josh Allen, die by Josh Allen. That's what you got.
Yeah.
Going to another quarterback, Jalen Hurts had the right middle finger injury, did come back to the game, so didn't seem like that big a deal. But is that going to affect him going forward? Throws, rushes, tush push, all the above?
Well, big deal and not big deal. Let me give you all the big deal sides of it. Maybe you'll cut in the Twitter picture that I tweeted. I mean, a swan neck deformity. I can't even make my finger do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
This tip is bent. The only people who've seen those deformities are in grandma or grandpa, especially if they have rheumatoid arthritis or something, right? I mean, that was an ugly picture. He wasn't showing anyone the bird or your number one. I mean, he was holding up his finger going, oh, look at this, you know, kind of deal. So bad news is, that's a significant injury. It's a soft tissue injury. No fracture, but we knew that. I mean, that's been reported. It's the ligaments and the collaterals. It basically is a balance imbalance. And basically, yeah, his finger joint popped out, popped it back in, and it's a soft tissue injury. So the bad news is it's significant. The bad news is it requires treatment. The bad news is it won't be 100% throughout these playoffs. The good news, you can play through it. He did return to the game. It should not require surgery. It can be treated with splinting. I think you'll have some splint on it. And he has an index finger dominant throwing grip where I think he can still throw reasonably effectively. But this is his throwing hand, middle finger, so it's not a nothing. But the good news is I think he can play through it. He says he's day-to-day. It shouldn't affect ball security much. It shouldn't affect his throwing much. Of course, it's painful. But it's the NFL. I mean, Jalen Hurts has played through the SC joint, the ankle the year before that.
The knee this year.
The knee this year earlier. He's going to play through, no question about it. I think A.J. Brown's the bigger deal, although A.J. Yep. Brown, I think, has a chance to play through with his what we determined to be mild MCL sprain.
His ACL safe, though. Rapport was all over that.
Yes. No, that's good. That's good to know. I mean, yeah. And that's something we learned. I mean, we could have just said that. It wasn't a worry about the ACL.
It's a big category if we just label every ACL safe when we know it's safe.
I don't know.
It might help some people. But
maybe there's some upside to it because it eases some people's worries. But also, I mean, it's an easy way to, quote, be right. But also, I think some people worry about it, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's a bad thing. And we're being positive. It's not something. And we get so much grief about being negative. Oh, why do you say this? How do you know this? You know, kind of thing. We're just trying to call it as it is. We're not trying to be overly optimistic or overly pessimistic. It's just injury analysis by video, right? And by video, that wasn't an ACL. It was a mild MCL. But here's the thing. If this were Devonta Smith, who has a high ankle sprain,
right,
who still is iffy to play this next week against Tampa, I think a mild MCL affects Devonta Smith a lot more than A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, big body, veteran. He can be straight line. He can use his body. He can use his veteran wild to catch some balls. I think he tries to play this week. Will he be fully effective? I think some of his routes he won't be, right? But I think he can try and play. So I would say that A.J. Brown's knee will affect him more than Jalen Hurts' finger affects Jalen Hurts. And, of course, Sidney Brown's the worst. He tore his ACL. Yeah. He's done not only for this season, but not ready for the start of next season.
Just to clarify, Jalen Hurts' finger is better than Justin Herbert's earlier this year where he could only take shotgun snaps. Is it going to affect any kind of game plan like that?
Well, because it's a soft tissue injury. Now, Justin Herbert was on his left hand,
right,
so it's better for throwing, gripping, but it was a fracture that was unstable.
Right, so you don't want the ball hitting it on the snap.
Jalen Hurts structurally is stable. He has this ligament tendon imbalance to the funky finger that can be taped, etc., and gotten to heal. So Justin Herbert's worse because it's a fracture. Jalen Hurts is worse because it's his throwing hand. But overall, I think Justin Herbert's is a worse injury. If this were the throwing hand on Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts, that injury, he'd miss time.
Right.
Significant time because it was non-throwing hand. He played through. So this is a better injury for sure, although you would prefer it to be on the non-throwing hand. But that's how he got it. He followed through and he hit a Giants defender.
I don't know if you mentioned, Doc, that A.J. Brown has had surgeries on both those knees. You're not seeing any issue with that compared.
Yeah, he's had some chronic knee issues, but this is something that's new.
That's
and
the reason why he was traded from Titans Bay, so I think he could last. But
yeah, and I think he'll play. I think I lean towards him playing. How effectively is the question?
Two others that have missed the previous 2 weeks and are questionable to play, haven't practiced yet, so we don't have a status yet, but Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert. Jalen Waddle with that left ankle, Raheem Mostert more knee, but has had a lingering ankle for the last couple weeks in the season. See either of those two playing?
I think Waddle's going to try and play. We never saw it as a high ankle. I remember Tyreek Hill still was in a boot when he went to his house with the fire. Glad everyone's okay there. Mostert, I mean, Achane averaged, what, 7.8 yards for over 100 carries in the season?
Yeah, that touchdown run was something else.
We'll see about Mostert as effectiveness. I lean towards him playing, but I think Achane is probably
he's splitting snaps at best with Achane now, yeah.
That's why they drafted him, too.
And they still have Jeff Wilson Jr.
Yeah.
Not Russell.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about Russell heading into the offseason.
Carries for 800 yards this year, averaging 7.8 yards a carry.
Wow. That's extreme. Even had a lingering toe late in the season, but it looks like he's past that.
Yeah.
Sam Laporta, Detroit Lions, had their seating locked up. Laporta hurt, I think it was midway through the third quarter. Could raise some eyebrows for why he's still in the game, but I know you can't rest everybody.
Look. Yeah, I don't blame Dan Campbell at all. First of all, it's a little bit of a freak injury. Secondly, 53 guys on the active roster, 46 are activated. You got to play somebody. You can't sit everybody, and he's a rookie. So you would assume, and I get Dan Campbell's attitude, we're going to play, and they did play people. That was an unfortunate injury for Sam Laporta. And Detroit doesn't have a lot of tight ends, right?
Depth chart, he probably had to play.
They don't have a lot of other tight ends on the roster. Now, maybe in the second half, you could have started to shut him down, but the game was still competitive. And in the end, it was for a seed, right? I mean, I guess unfortunate. The early news matched what we said.
Right.
The early news from Dan Campbell was it wasn't as bad as it looked, but it's not good.
News. Yeah.
Good news either, right? And that's what we said. We said it looked like an LCL, lateral collateral ligament, and posterolateral corner. You could call it a hyperextension. It's not a pure straight hyperextension. Once again, major media said hyperextension and bone bruise. Yeah, I mean, I guess we were overly specific saying posterolateral corner and LCL. Yes, with associated bone bruise. And Dan Campbell now says this morning there's an outside shot of him playing.
I was going to have that in the coach speak. What's more coach speak, him saying he has an outside shot of playing or they're not looking to add a tight end?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know that Dan Campbell does a lot of coach speak. he's stream of consciousness speak, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I do take the outside shot of playing as let's keep hope alive rather than reality. And there's nothing wrong with that. He coaches with his heart on his sleeve. That's nothing wrong with that. I think that's, even if he plays, there's no way he's going to be effective. As far as not looking at adding anyone, you know, I mean, it is hard to add someone into a system. There are a couple people out there. But, you know, they got a GM. I mean, look, I think it's GM malpractice not to look at adding someone all year, all the time.
Right.
Right. But I guess maybe saying it hasn't gotten on his head coaching radar screen where the GM says, do you want this guy? Do you not?
Right.
Kind of thing. So I think you have to take him at his word, but there's some issues for Detroit here. You know, Khalif Raymond,
right.
I'm sure you're asking about him next. That looks like a significant PCL sprain, more so worse than
Gabe Davis.
Khalif Raymond is missing this week as well, and likely more. I think he's got a higher grade injury than Gabe Davis in terms of how he hit with his right knee PCL. So PCL for Khalif Raymond. Jameson Williams has the high ankle still.
Yeah, left high ankle.
Left high ankle still coming off of that. Khalif Raymond. And then Sam Laporta out. I mean,
Dan Campbell did say Jameson Williams should be good to go this week. So that might be more out of necessity with the Khalif Raymond injury.
Yeah. I mean, good to go versus 100% are two different things.
Right.
It's good to hear that he is likely good to go.
Next one I got, again, this is some of the matchups. Got Browns, and we have the AFC and NFC health rankings on our website right now. You can go click through those to get all the specific scores. But the Texans do have the health advantage. Early game on Saturday against over the Browns. I think you pointed out to us, Doc, that this is the first time that Stroud is facing the Browns, because last time they played, it was a combination of Case Keenum and Davis Mills at quarterback.
Week 16, Cleveland at Houston Texans. I think the score was 36-22.
Yep.
Flacco had a huge game.
Threw three picks and they still won.
Oh, he threw three picks that game.
I believe so.
A lot of picks.
Amari Cooper had a huge game that day.
265 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, and the difference is, and that was the, that was our good call where we were hinting that C.J. Stroud might miss.
Right.
And it was his second straight week off of concussion. And he did miss. And, you know, he's obviously back and healthy. And Nico Collins wasn't 100% with his calf then. Right, Nico Collins is fine. The only worry there is maybe Laremy Tunsil, left tackle with the groin. They have some, Houston has some D-line issues. Will Anderson played, but that's not Will Anderson with his high ankle. And a couple other, Jerry Hughes, JG, Jonathan Grenard.
Will Anderson did not play in that that Browns-Texans game as well.
Wow, first time for both rookies then.
Yeah, so the number two and number three pick did not play, and Will Anderson still may not be 100% come this next week.
Did you mention Jerry Hughes? He didn't get injured yet. He had a sack that game, so that would be missed.
Hughes, I think, will be back this week. Grenard will be back this week. A few things going on with Houston and their D-line. And the big one is defensively, Juan Thornhill did come back for the Browns, not 100%.
He's had the calf all year, pretty much.
But Delpit is still on IR, so now you have Stroud back there. We'll see what happens.
Will Anderson there.
Any concerns about Amari Cooper? He missed week 17 and 18 with the heel. Seems more rest than anything, but...
Yeah, I think Amari Cooper would be fine. Is he going to get 265 yards again? I think they'll have a solution for it. Now, I'm just saying that you can't say that the Browns beat them by two touchdowns in Houston 3 weeks ago, and this will be a repeat. I think it's a different situation, different team, and it's the NFL. It's hard to beat a team twice in a season.
Yeah, and Stroud might be able to take advantage of those safety issues, so... Yeah. More so than Case Keenum. Dolphins at Chiefs is the Peacock game.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For anybody looking where it is, it's not going to be on cable at all. It's streaming exclusively on Peacock. For all this, they're getting all the Swifties to sign up for Peacock. It's a shrewd move from NBC. Dolphins, we talked about their offensive issues, but on defense, Bradley Chubb, they lose last week. Jalen Phillips earlier in the season, Achilles, and then Van Ginkel left with a foot injury yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think Van Ginkel's playing. We know Chubb's not. We know Jalen Phillips is not. I saw my guy Melvin Ingram out there as the edge rusher. My guy Melvin.
What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I love Melvin Ingram. You know, it's going deep on the depth chart at this point in time.
Yeah.
Look, the Dolphins have lost, 24 sacks? Between Phillips, what he had this year, and Chubb, and now Van Ginkel.
Ingram had 1.5 sacks last game.
And not only have they lost those sacks, but they lost a lot of tackles, too, among those edge rushers and linebackers. So that's going to be something to watch there as they play the Chiefs. The Chiefs have their offensive tackle issues. Juwan Taylor got injured. Donovan Smith might be back. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure Miami's in a position to exploit the tackle weaknesses that the Chiefs have had all season.
And we'll see if the Chiefs are in a position to exploit the Dolphins' defense. I know the lack of offensive weapons has been a topic all season.
Xavier Howard, you mentioned too, he had the foot injury.
Correct.
He's likely not.
Xavier Howard, number one corner for the Dolphins, is out. Now, do the Chiefs have wide receivers to make him pay? And look, I'm not banging on my guy, number five, Jalen Ramsey.
You mean Pro Bowl cornerback, Jalen Ramsey?
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
He made a great comeback. I don't think yesterday was his greatest game.
Tough to cover Tyreek when you're healthy. I know there was that one brutal one-on-one replay deep route where his feet look like he was in mud. So he's not the only corner looking like that against Tyreek, but tough task.
Jalen Ramsey's not going against Tyreek.
Oh, on the one deep route. Or sorry, no, you're right. Is Stephon Diggs burned him
in practice?
Didn't prepare him for Stephon Diggs.
I have a question on that, Doc. So with Howard there and Ramsey coming back, it was kind of like Howard could do a lot and Ramsey could do his thing. Now that Ramsey's by himself on his own island, does that expose the injury a little bit?
Look, I think Jalen Ramsey has made a great comeback, right? And we said it. And he's beaten the odds and expectations. And all I ever said, even in Jalen Ramsey's hype video when he quoted and he came back, is I think it's a tall task to return to be Pro Bowl, all pro Jalen Ramsey in the same season. You can argue maybe he's done it. All I'm saying is cut the guy a break. I mean, if he doesn't have the one best game last night, because he still is dealing with lingering effects of the injury.
Right.
He's doing very, very well, and he's helping the Dolphins out quite a bit. Like I said, it's a tall order to return to be the same. Okay, he had one maybe not the best game, but overall he's been fine.
Sports Injury Central Podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more. All designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, a perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroom, LYFE.com. Steelers Bills is next on the slate. I think we covered pretty much everybody, but Rasul Douglas left last game with a knee injury. He said he's going to try to gut it out. I don't know if that means for the wild card round or the round beyond that, but
he kind of got leg whip, friendly fire on the top of the knee. Contusion and or hyperextension / bone bruise type injury. We'll see. The problem is at corner, that's tough to gut it out. You know, you're on the O-line, D-line, and you're 85%. You can try and make a go of it. You're on an island out there. That's tough. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. See if Mason Rudolph can take advantage. Kenny Pickett, the unfortunately timed high ankle sprain. He hasn't had a sniff since Mason Rudolph got in there, so... Interesting matchup.
And at this point, it's starting to become a little bit of hiding behind health, right? Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph.
Right.
Mason Rudolph led him to the playoffs. So you kind of have to ride Mason Rudolph, don't you? You can't just switch to Kenny Pickett right now. And you have the easy excuse that he's not 100%. Although Kenny Pickett is backing up, right?
Right.
So he's healthy enough to play, but he's not the starter. And it's easy to say if he were 100% healthy, he'd be the starter, so he's not demoted. But it is a little bit hiding behind health, I think.
Well, Trubisky's been ruled out last couple games. He's probably the guy, right?
Yeah, Steelers also have some issues on the defensive end. Lack of linebackers. Got a fun one for you. Miles Jack is playing there. You weren't a big fan of his previous knee issues coming into the league. Got Melvin Ingram on the Dolphins, Miles Jack on the Steelers, and Shaq Leonard with the two back surgeries for the Eagles. Pick two and eliminate the third. Which are the two best health-wise out of that group?
Health-wise? Well, I mean, health-wise, we said all year, Shaq Leonard with his back is not 100%. Health-wise for this next game?
Let's go for the playoffs in general.
I would say...
Who do you have the most confidence in filling in? Obviously, we don't want to bang on the guys. They're gutting it out, playing through, but filling in the role, who's the most capable to fill in right now?
I would say Miles Jack's knee injuries are long-term issues, and he seems to have survived that.
Right.
Shaq Leonard isn't going to change what his back status is from one week to the next, so I'd be worried about him a little bit. Melvin, look, if Melvin can turn back the clock... Melvin's pretty good, and they need him at edge rusher. Right. And he didn't have a bad game, but
looks like he didn't have the best conditioning program.
That Cameron Good guy that was injured during the special teams. He's Chubb's backup. So they had to go into the bag to get Ingram. So,
look, I love Melvin Ingram, and don't hate me, but Melvin's looks a little heavier than when he played in San Diego and when he's with the Chargers. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Well, his former teammate, University of Southern Carolina, Stephon Gilmore, had a right shoulder injury. We looked it up, reaggravation of the previous labrum injury that he had. So he's status up in the air going into the Packers game.
I believe he subluxed/dislocated his right shoulder, which is a labral tear, which is what he had surgery on in a couple of off seasons ago. It's not impossible to play with a harness. But yeah, that's one to watch, especially since they've already lost Trayvon Diggs, the Cowboys. And the Packers may be finally getting back Christian Watson. Finally, maybe.
So this might be the first time that they have their entire offense completely healthy, with the Musgrove also being back.
Yeah.
A couple other.
Romeo Dobbs did leave with injured ribs last game, but would think that he'd take the injection to play.
I have a hypothetical question for you guys, and we probably should ask our guy Doug, the Packers guy. Did the Packers all of a sudden get wide receiver help for their quarterback, or what changed?
I forget what I was listening to, but it is funny that that's the reason that Rodgers left. And then here's this group of young wideouts that's turning in performances no matter who's up. Dontayvion Wicks.
So these are all new.
These are all new. But they got them in the – it kind of got them in the drafts that Rodgers was complaining about, not getting wide receiver help.
So Dobbs and Watson was last year. And this year was Reed and this Melton kid. So, like you said, last
time. So maybe they did listen to him.
Majority of their wide receivers.
Tyler Smith's the other one on the Cowboys side. We had an article. You could go back on the website if you want to find him. But the full plantar fascia tear, better long term, tougher in the short term, but he can take a pain and numbing injection to play.
Chance to play. Zach Martin will play. He was just rest. Yeah. Zach Martin will play.
A.J. Dillon, kind of an interesting one. He had the broken right thumb. Should be a little bit better from that, but he had a stinger that knocked him out of last week.
I think it was more the stinger than the thumb at this point in time.
Right. They haven't had that 1-2 punch healthy pretty much all season, but good chance to have it again against the Cowboys. Rams at Lions, everybody's favorite. There's everybody circling on the schedule. Do they celebrate Stafford before? I mean, there's some talk. Do they do a ceremony? Do you not do a ceremony? Before or after the game?
You can't do a ceremony. The ceremony is about the playoff game.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, who would have thought that the Lions finally host a playoff game and Matt Stafford will be there? I mean, it never happened with Matt Stafford on the team.
Yeah.
Will they boo or cheer Matt Stafford? I would hope that they cheer Matt Stafford, at least before the game. During the game, they can do what you want. And, you know, perhaps as long as he doesn't stand next to his wife, they'll cheer him. I don't think they love her. Deserved or not, I don't think they love her there. But no, Matt Stafford didn't ask out. I mean, he got traded. I mean, what are you going to do?
Shouldn't be any bittersweet feelings.
No, I think that's going to be a fun and interesting game. But, you know, Detroit's been a pretty good offensive team, but we've detailed Laporta and Khalif Raymond, Jameson Williams. Meanwhile, Puka and Cooper are healthy.
I think the Rams have an all healthy defensive 11 too, which is helpful.
We've been saying for a while this season,
safety just got hurt. Besides that,
that the Rams have been the healthiest team in the league for the last few weeks, and including in these playoffs, the Rams are the healthiest team.
Yeah, Tyler Higbee has a dislocated shoulder week 17, so he's coming into a miss week 18 for rest, but
I think he'll play. I think Higbee will play, and you got to give it to Stafford. I mean, we had some worries about his spine, you know, at the beginning of the season, and he's played and played well and outperformed, and that's part of the reason the Rams have done well so far.
As a quick aside, it was interesting seeing Carson Wentz being used in the kind of Josh Allen role in that game. It's like he had like six quarterback draws called. That was
the key part of the game.
Yeah, it was a key part of the game. So.
It was good to see Carson Wentz back out there. Like I said, ironic that his career was derailed against the Rams, admittedly at the Coliseum, not at SoFi there. But now we didn't play at SoFi, right? They played in Arizona.
Right.
But anyways, it was against the Rams. It was on the Rams, and it was against the Rams. Yes.
I have skipping ahead a little bit, but I have our good call was the Niners -3.5 first half. I know you keep trying to talk to them in the first half, Betts. We finally listened to you on this one with the rest implications going on. But
To me, look, I don't bet. You guys know this. I'm just taking injury angles and looking at, you know, sometimes you guys do all that stuff. I chime in with market inefficiencies is all.
Well, turned out the right side of it because Niners were 5.5 for the game, ended up losing 21-20, and they were up 20-7 at half. So shutout in the second half. Carson Wentz comes down and they get the win to keep the playoff seeding they wanted. And
that's where the field views were healthy last week. We knew which people would rest on the 49ers and which key players were only playing the first half. And it was clearly a shutdown in the second half. So that was what the first half was all about, 20-7. So that wasn't too bad.
Last matchup, talk about Eagles, Bucks. We talked about the Eagles side of it, but Baker Mayfield, right ankle, limping around pretty good, only managed 9 points against Carolina. Any concerns going into this game?
I mean, Baker, between his ribs last week and the ankle in the previous weeks and again here, he's going to play. I mean, he's a gamer, he's going to play. But it's interesting that those are two interesting teams in the playoffs here. Baker and company made it, but they beat the Panthers 9-0
only. Yeah.
And the Eagles, my gosh, they're in a little interesting funk. They started 10-1.
Yep.
And then they ended up 1-5 after that. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. We'll see who can get up for that game. Got some hide and bait health here. I know it seems not in the playoffs, but it was interesting that we were on the Falcons +3 going against the Saints. And then the quarterback snafu, that Heinicke, I got the details. Heinicke tweaked his left ankle in week 16, played through it in week 17, but was sore and then was pulled for Ridder. Arthur Smith said because of injury, and then Heinicke's practicing, he's questionable, and then inactive ahead of week 18, but we saw him in the full uni on the sideline. So I don't know if that was coaching, hide behind health, all the above. I mean,
I don't know. That was an interesting circumstance. I mean, I respect Arthur Smith. He was hot after the game. Huh?
Yeah.
And I can understand why. It was a victory formation and the touchdown. And we probably saw Jameis Winston's explanation, which was,
I can't get enough of that. We don't have to spend the whole podcast talking about it, but you're trying to get a touchdown for a guy that led the league in touchdowns last year?
Yeah, 20 last year.
Jamal Williams at 20 last year. It's not like a feel-good story. It was his first NFL touchdown.
This wasn't Rudy.
Yeah, come on.
Hendry Miller would make more sense.
Yeah.
Hasn't scored yet, but you get.
I think Jameis just knew he's not playing there anymore, and he didn't like Dennis Allen. So here's one final stick it to you, Dennis.
That was interesting, and Dennis Allen caught the brunt of that. Yeah. Now, how much of that was real frustration from Arthur Smith or frustration at his whole pending situation? And Dennis Allen, I will give it to him. He apologized immediately after, and quite honestly, he didn't throw Jameis under the bus. He didn't say, well, I didn't call that play. I was told him to do victory. They didn't listen to me, which probably would not have been a good look. Your team doesn't listen to you. He just took it and said, yeah.
So Shannon Sharp said he shouldn't have a job anymore.
He said Jameis. Shannon Sharp said I would cut Jameis today.
From a coaching perspective, I know he was amicably okay in person, but behind the scenes, is Allen upset, like you said, that players aren't listening to him? Or is that just like last game of the season?
I don't know. There's so many different layers of that, right? Yeah. I mean, do you cut Jair Alexander because he didn't listen and he did the coin flip?
He's back on board now, a number one Packers fan.
Yeah, I would say maybe.
there's so many different layers to it. I mean, so many different layers to it. To just cut them just for that, I don't know. I mean, if he did it for himself, I think you could. But if you're...
I've got to think he's a pending free agent. I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up. But I think that was calculated by Jameis. I don't think he did that knowing he's going to have to spend the whole offseason program with Dennis Allen.
Well, look, I mean, you know, you can argue that... former Houston Texans coach Lovie Smith knew he was a pending free agent going to be fired, and he won that week 18 game that cost the Texans the number one pick. Yep. And then Chicago trades that to Carolina. Carolina takes Bryce Young, and
that's maybe a whole alternate reality wormhole you can go down.
CJ Stroud, number two, Will Anderson, number three. They got the better part of that deal.
Yeah. Lovie Smith, they owe a lot to Lovie Smith. They didn't think so at the time, but. They do.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, I got on here. Rough loss, knocked him out of the playoffs. How much can you put on the accumulation of injuries? He had the left knee tweak in October 15th, right ankle December 4th, right shoulder December 16th that caused him to miss week 17, and then a little bit limited week 18.
Well, in his shoulder AC joint, he played through maybe with or without injection. He threw 55-yard in the air completion
right
to Ridley for a 60-some yard touchdown. So his arm was there, but I don't know. Was this a lack of practice time with his team? They clearly got off kilter. And, you know, one of the things you talk about in the NFL, you scout the last four games. They kind of divide the season into quarters. This is when it was 16 games. It was easy.
Right.
Now it's 17. But your personality is much more the last four games. I mean, look at the Eagles, 1-5, last six games. Their personality is not the same as earlier this season.
That Super Bowl hangover thing too, the loser of the Super Bowl doesn't do well the following season. Well,
yeah, but they started 10-1.
10-1 out of 8, but maybe it's catching up to them. I don't know.
I don't know, but Jacksonville's not won recently, right? And they've been on a negative.
They were 8-4. Now they finished 9-8, so they finished
Yeah. 2-0 in London.
Is that was it too much traveling for them?
Now they're 2-0 in London. Yeah. Come on.
They got hot after London.
They were good. Yeah.
No, I don't think you can blame that on that.
Last note on Lawrence, career high in sacks, but a career low in attempts. So maybe you can point to the offensive line a little bit too.
Interesting.
Bad call of the week, Ravens plus 3.5. I know that was a sloppy conditions. Interesting that the main ref in that Detroit and Cowboys debacle in week 17 was at that slop bowl in Baltimore-Pittsburgh. I don't know if that was intentional, but rough couple weeks for him.
No, you know, of course, I preferred the first half there, but that which would have won. But,
you know what you prefer.
But you know, I love that Steelers special teamer that the ball was dead on the 7-yard line, 2 yards in bound, and he put his toe out of bounds and reached.
That's my Beast of the Week candidate.
Oh, okay.
Got his name, Godwin Igwebike. I think I screwed that up, but Igwebike.
On the one hand, smart play, good coaching. On the other hand, every player in the league should know that, right? And the ball just stuck in the mud right there. It wasn't going anywhere. And it was a live ball. He couldn't fair catch it. You pick it up and scoop it. He gets maybe to the 15 at most. But he had to calculate in his mind, can I reach that? He put his toes out of bounds, lay down flat prone, touch the ball. The ball went out to the 40. That's pretty good.
Is that a loophole? How is that not illegal touching for going out of bounds and then grabbing it? Because it's not only on the kicking team.
Once you're out of bounds and you touch it, the ball's out of bounds,
right?
Which then implies that the ball was kicked out of bounds.
Right.
Is it a loophole? Maybe a little bit.
Rain helped too, right? Because it stopped
the ball. It stuck there. So smart on Baltimore's part, special teams, and kick it down where it's not going to bounce around and stick in the mud.
He just went up them.
All right. So that's not a bad Beast of the Week, and we do a lot of hits. But I got to say, Beast of the Week, I'm going to put up my guy, Pat McAfee. First of all, I'm curious to what Aaron Rodgers is going to say this week. The controversy, whatever you want to say. But he called out his immediate report boss as being a rat. I mean, and that's not the Beast of the Week part. The Beast of the Week part, look, I love Pat. Like, been on a couple times, whatever. We'll go on whatever. He's got lots of success and he's doing the college football and doing everything.
He'll be everywhere tonight. Yeah, Monday night.
Good for him and whatever. But I think the Beast of the Week move is, after calling out this Norby Williamson guy, I've worked with ESPN, so I don't know who he is, but apparently he's a longtime guy, gets a lot of credit, OG guy, whatever. But everyone has a boss. And McAfee takes a picture with Norby Williamson's boss the next day. You know, hey, and he does the old pointing at him,
look who I'm here with,
all buddied up with his whole crew and with Norby Williams's boss.
Yeah,
I got to say, that was a beast power move, man. I mean, it was pretty fun and good. I love Pat McAfee. You know, tell me if I erred here. The first time I was on with McAfee. Look, we texted, you know, each other, whatever. He said, oh, yeah, come on. And he had actually put it off for a while. And he said to me when I got on. He goes, yeah, no, I would have had you on earlier because I love your stuff, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I would have to ask you about Tyrod Taylor and his punctured lung. And then this morning, my staff tells me that it wasn't you, right? And I was like, yeah, it wasn't me. That was in L.A., whatever, right. Tell me if I did the right thing or not. I almost said, and I said, no. My first time on with Pat, I can't say this. I almost said, and you're not the idiot kicker Peyton Manning was referring to.
I don't know if that would have played well, but
I think that was a good avoid. I think he might have taken it well, but it could have gone bad. So I think it was a good avoid.
Good avoid. Okay.
I don't have any of those.
I'm not a beast of the week. I don't have the guts to do that. So, but I think it would have been funny, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people have mistaken him for the idiot kicker that Peyton Manning has talked about because he's an Indy Colts kicker, right? Yeah. Peyton Manning talked about an idiot kicker, right? So you're with me. It was a good avoid. Yeah. Okay.
I think last time you were on Rodgers, you're talking about backing him up that punters are athletes too. So I think he appreciated that too because it's I know it's a big gripe for him.
Well, actually, that's not technically what I said.
Right.
What I said was in the NFL, there are two different types of kickers. There are some athletes in the NFL that happen to be in the NFL because they can kick a ball. And there are some kickers, punters in the NFL who are actual NFL players who happen to be able to kick a ball, right? I mean, and I put Pat in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, I put, you know, I mentioned before Mike Seifert's in that category. He's a football player who happens to kick a ball.
He was very athletic in his WWE.
I'm not throwing anyone on the bus. I've talked about it on a podcast before. Nate Kading, love him. Great Charger player. He's a guy who...
More of a specialist, yeah.
He was in the NFL because he could kick a ball. He wasn't an NFL guy,
right?
You know, I mean, in terms of athlete, I mean, he was a kicker in the NFL, whereas Cyphers and McAfee are football players who happen to kick a ball.
Yeah.
That's the distinction that I made. So glad you backed me up on it. I'm sorry, Pat, we're all good. Love you and your crew. And you're the beast of the week. I think that was an awesome beast of the week move there, the power picture with his boss the next day. And knowing Pat, I mean, that wasn't planned out. It was all spontaneous. Yeah. I mean, he just speaks from the heart.
It's not that calculated.
And look, that's his successful because he's real and authentic. I think that's just him. He flies off the cuff and is authentic. And, you know, I don't think that was I'm planning this just because, but it's still the beast of the week move. I think power move.
I just want to mention all attention's on NFL playoffs, but we are ramping up to basketball coverage with the less games in the NFL. So Chris Paul analysis, all the latest on Jimmy Butler, Turf Toe, all that good stuff on our NBA page.
And don't sleep on this. We've always said in the NFL, look, everyone knows when a quarterback's in or out and it gets factored in, but it's the cluster injuries, be it the wide receiver group or the offensive line or the DBs that we look at with 22 starters in the NFL and only 5 in the NBA. So look, if LeBron's out, everyone's going to know it. Okay. But when the small forward for a team is out or the power forward or the center for a team is out, that in and of itself is a cluster because it's 5 guys going both ways versus 22 guys in the NFL, and really more than 22 with the specialists, with the third down backs, with the slot corners, slot receivers and nickel backs and dime packages, et cetera. Right. But by definition, anytime we have an injury in the NBA and they're less than 100%, that is a cluster injury. So in some ways, we found that the NBA stuff that you guys all do, the props and the plays are, it's almost more actionable.
Right.
Because by definition, one injury is a cluster in terms of what's happening. So you guys do a good job of that.
Yeah, I think, but are we plus 12 units, Taylor? Is it?
I think. No, we're at 6 now.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a
little rough patch, but 3-0 last night. So let's focus on the closer mentality, wipe the slate, and get back.
Next play, one play at a time, right?
Anyways. We were 3-0 last night.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for watching Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. We'll be on throughout the rest of the playoffs and Super Bowl. We'll be in Las Vegas for Super Bowl week, but also you know, in some ways the podcast I like in the off season, because then we get back to guests and more deeper dive stuff.
Start getting that list for you, Doc. It's never too early to start planning.
Yeah, the scheduling's the worst part. My schedule, the guest schedule, yeah. And trying to figure all that stuff out. I mean, getting guests isn't a problem. Getting them when we need them, like to the recording window,
yeah,
is sometimes the issue. But there's definitely, yeah, we should call that long list of guests, and we'll take suggestions too. Tweet at us or DM or whatever at Sports Injury Central, SIC Score, or the Pro Football Doc. All right, thanks for watching and listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.